Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to It's a 90s Christmas podcast, where we keep your wonderful festive holiday memories alive and well. I'm one of your hosts, Lasse Vogt.
I am your other host, Lyle Perez.
And welcome back to another wonderful episode where we guide you through everything that's Christmas related and just wonderful. How are you doing, Lyle?
I am doing good. How are you doing, Teddy?
I'm pretty good. You told me that and I forgot it.
Yes, I was going to tell you that I was going to call you Teddy.
I forgot. I totally forgot.
I know, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. What?
I guess we should explain what Teddy means.
Yeah, I think so too.
Lasse, he's been staying with me at my house for the past a couple of days now. We've been trying to get a couple of, you know, a couple of recordings done every single day so we have enough to last us a while. And my daughter, for whatever reason, she calls Lasse Teddy. So now he has been christened Teddy.
Yeah, I don't mind.
<It's> Teddy.
But yeah, please ever don't call him that. Call me that again.
Oh, it's going to stick, Teddy.
Oh, God. Please, dear listeners, forget it. Just forget it.
No, it's not a set it and forget it. It is you are Teddy from now on.
Oh boy. Nah, it could be worse, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it could. But Lasse, how's it going, man?
So far so good, actually. Good. I skipped breakfast and that was a mistake because normally I just don't eat really breakfast all that much, but this time I got incredibly hungry while watching today's topic for the episode, and so we stopped to get something to eat and now I'm much better.
Yeah, the Pizza Hut that we got, he really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And did you know in Germany they don't always cut your pizza?
Yeah. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. You have to make a special request, I guess. But I don't think it costs extra.
No, it shouldn't cost extra. They're just cutting your pizza. That's it.
Yep.
But yeah, Lasse, what did we do for this episode?
Today we did a horrible mistake.
Did we really?
No, not
it
really.
Seems like we're two for two in the Halloween / Christmas month.
Because for a while I actually couldn't tell if you enjoyed this episode or not.
It was half and half. It had its moments. Mm-hmm. It had its not moments. It did make me chuckle a few times. And we'll obviously be talking about those.
Yeah, because today we were talking about the 1996 TV movie The Monster's Scary Little Christmas, directed by Ian Ames. I hope I pronounced that right. And it's, of course, based on the famous show and characters. And this specific TV special was written by Ed Ferrara and Kevin Murphy. And when I saw the name Kevin Murphy, I got really excited. And then I found out it was a different Kevin Murphy. Because I thought it was the Kevin Murphy of Mystery Science Theater 3000. But it isn't. This Kevin Murphy, he wrote for Desperate Housewives, Weird Science, and Sabrina the Animated Series.
Oh, that was from, what, 2 weeks ago? A week ago, somewhere on there?
And also, he also did Reefer Madness, the movie musical. The other writer, Ed Ferrara, wrote a ton of WWE stuff for some reason. And he also wrote for Weird Science.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was a little bit disappointed when I found out it wasn't that Kevin Murphy I was such a huge fan of.
Well, I thought you would have been disappointed by actually watching the movie.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad, but it's just...
I mean, the X-Files was so much worse.
I mean, X-Files was just straight up boring. This one wasn't boring. It was just... nothing that special either. It's just, you know, I don't have much of history with the monsters. I mean, I know who they are. I watched a couple of stuff they were on. I mean, they're insanely popular, but I am much more familiar with the Addams Family, the classic show specifically. The movies were fun too, but the plots weren't so neat. But yeah, I'm much more familiar with the Addams Family stuff. But yeah, I know the monsters well. I know the characters. It's a fun concept.
I'm more familiar with the Addams Family as far as the 90s go. In the 90s, there wasn't really much monsters content. Or was there? I think there was. I think there was, because this was what, a made-for-TV movie. I'm pretty sure they had a sequel. But I don't think it was released in the theaters like the Addams Family was.
No. I mean, the Addams Family, those were straight-up theatrical releases. This one has the feeling of a TV movie. I mean, it straight-up cuts to non-existent commercial breaks.
Yeah, they weren't there. We rented this off of Amazon, and I'm going to see if I can get my money back.
I thought you enjoyed it.
No, it was okay. It wasn't so bad. I mean, like I said, it did make me chuckle at some points. Within the first 2 minutes, it made me laugh really bad when Lily, I guess is the mom, she was cooking something in the kitchen, and then it just flared up fire, and Herman Munster just like went all crazy
because of the fire.
That made me laugh.
That was really good. That guy was cute, and you laughed really hard when Eddie was.
It still makes me laugh.
Was crawling through the dock door.
Yeah, instead of he was like standing out in front of his house, and he was contemplating about Christmas, and I thought he was gonna open the door and walk in, but he kneels down and he goes into the doggy door, and I just started laughing.
And at first, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I had to rewind it for him.
it was just okay, part four of course, I guess.
Yeah, but overall, I mean, it was fun. It was fun just to give people a little bit of a, I guess, a quick synopsis of the story. It is Herman, Lily, and the others try to recreate a Transylvanian holiday for homesick Eddie, and that was pretty much that. That's a good quick summary of the entire story, the entire plot.
It kind of, but it's just one plot of like 47 plot lines in this freaking special.
Yeah, it did go all over the place at one point. For some reason, there ended up being two villains. We had the elves who were the villains that somewhat redeemed themselves later, and then we had the crazy neighbor who wanted to win the lighting contest.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up having two sets of villains, I should say, because there was three total, but
yeah,
two sets.
I was just going to ask, do you count the elves only as half a person each?
No, but the elves were funny. They weren't your traditional happy elf. They were more like
the grumpy elves who've had enough.
The grumpy elves. There was a word that I had in my head, but I don't remember it. They weren't like raunchy or anything, but they were more or less like, yeah, I'm gonna go get some drinks, and then they went to a bar at one point. They were trying to pick up chicks at one point.
Yeah, but they were a little raunchy. They were kind of like saying, "I'm gonna get me some sweet ass booty."
They said a lot of stuff like that, but I mean, it's really fast. It you know, this movie is basically family friendly.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of stuff in this. I mean, it has this this edginess that was still bleeding over from the late 80s, early 90s. If this special came around the right time before the 90s went overly clean and safe.
Yeah, it was released in, I believe, it was December 17th, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So it was right in the middle of all of the wonderful mid-90s weird television.
Yeah, and it's clearly riding on the cocktails of Tim Burton.
Yeah, a little bit. I can definitely see that, especially when we get the exterior of the house, which I thought was pretty cool. When they showed all of the decorations, I thought that was pretty cool too.
I expected the Edward Scissorhands music to kick in any second.
Yeah, I know. But well, speaking of music, they did kind of like the original intro to the Munsters TV show, but they kind of made it a little bit Christmassy.
Yeah, and that even made it sound that much more like Danny Elfman. Like it was. It was weird, but the music, yeah, it goes throughout the whole thing, and it's nice for the most part. But yeah, and we were surprised about a lot of the actors that were showing up at this.
Yeah, I mean, when I didn't look up any of the actors or anything when we were looking to do this special. I don't want to look at the actors. I don't want to know anything until I'm done watching it. And as I watched it, I was like, who is this Herman Munster? He looks familiar, mm-hmm. but I just can't picture him with all the with all that makeup on, and it ended up being Sam McMurray.
Yeah, he sounded familiar too.
Yeah, I guess he did a little bit, but that was out of everybody, that was the most recognizable name.
Yeah, and I for the longest time, because we were like about Marilyn Munster. We were both like, who is that?
Yeah, I was looking at her going, who is that? It kind of looked, she looked like a very young Joan Cusack, but I was like, no, it doesn't sound like her at all. She also looked like Who's the girl that played Sonya in Mortal Kombat?
Oh, I don't know.
She kind of looked like her too. Was it her? I don't know. Let me double check.
I don't know, because to me, she actually looked like Missy Pyle. She really has quite the likeness to Missy Pyle, but it wasn't. I'm much more familiar with Missy Pyle and her career, so this actually confused me. But right. Yeah.
Well, Marilyn was played by Elaine Hendricks, and no, it's not the same girl who was in Mortal Kombat.
But yeah, there were some people I recognized. The same with Eddie Munster. I recognized him. I was like, who is that? This is some kind of specific kid actor.
He did look pretty recognizable. I couldn't picture who it was, but doing the research, you kind of got to... we got to Little Rascals. He was in that. And I was like, who was he in Little Rascals? Did he play Spanky? Is that who it was?
No, Alfalfa.
Oh, it was Alfalfa. Mm-hmm.
I hate that movie. Sorry.
Why do you hate it?
I hate it. I hate everything about it. It's awful. It's awful and annoying and weird.
Yeah. Sonya was played by Bridget Wilson, in case anyone was interested in that. But look at her picture. Don't they kind of look alike? Kind of.
A little bit, maybe.
It's the girl from Billy Madison. Okay. Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero, oh.
Yeah, she played the Arnold's daughter.
You're right. Uh-huh. She looked like... Yeah, actually, in this... She looked like Elaine Hendricks looked like Schwarzenegger's daughter.
Yeah, but look at her here in this picture. Oof, man, she is a dime.
She's a cutie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, enough of that. So let's get into the characters, because we're kind of naming all of the actors, but the people probably want to know what roles they were in. So we had Herman Munster. He was the father. Lily Munster, who was the mom. We had Eddie, who was the little boy. Marilyn, who was, I believe she's a niece, right?
A niece, I don't know.
She's not a daughter, she's a niece. That's why she looks different than everybody else. Okay. And then we had the grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had some of the side characters, like the love interest for Marilyn, the Santa. We had Santa in this movie. We had two little elves. We had a grip load of bikers. We had the nosy neighbor who looked familiar to me, and then I kind of jumped when I realized who it actually was, because nobody probably knows that movie, but I do, and I knew it was her. I just knew it.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in due time.
Maybe a bunch of who played Santa in this?
I don't know. I don't think I looked up Santa, because he was
Mark Mitchell.
Yeah, Mark Mitchell. He wasn't that much into the story. He was like there probably more or less for filler. I mean, there was really no reason to, well, I guess for the conflict wise, he was there.
There is no photo of him on IMDb, and he has like 71 actor credits. How is that possible?
I don't know. I don't know how you put stuff on IMDb. If anyone can do it, is it like Wikipedia, or do you need to have a special account?
With photos, you have to have a special account.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do that. So his picture, we should definitely put a picture up there of him as Santa.
Yeah.
That would be good. But yeah, that's we had a Santa, the biker gang. I don't know if I mentioned that already. We had the decorating contest.
The judges.
The judges, the nosy neighbor. We had a pretty big... a small cast, but a big supporting roles, I would say, because there was a ton of them.
Oh yeah, it felt like 1,000 people in this, and there are just so many plot lines, because it's just, you know, the main plot is that Eddie is has kind of like the Christmas blues, because celebrating Christmas in California is just not the same as back home in Transylvania. So the family tries to cheer him up and give him something that reminds me that reminds him of Transylvania. But there are also like, what are the other plots? Okay, let me see. Okay, Eddie being sad, the others trying to cheer him up, decorating contest, the bully, which goes nowhere.
There was a bully. It honestly, he was there, and then throughout the entire episode or the entire special, they're just like, yeah, he's gonna get a lump of coal, and they're all happy about it.
Maybe there's nothing after the credits. I checked.
Nothing at all.
Marilyn discovering that she's beautiful, actually.
I do remember that from the show, from the actual show. Like, she was considered the ugly one in the family.
Vinmo was the elves being unhappy with the working conditions and trying to get rid of Santa in a first, in a kind of reasonable way, but then they overdo it by accident.
I must have like dozed off during that because I thought he was an alchemist, not a
wizard.
Yeah. Like at first they kept talking, oh, grandpa's a world famous alchemist. An alchemist makes like medicine with herbs and stuff. And he was like doing witchcraft stuff.
But I mean also like isn't like the Philosopher's Stone, isn't that alchemy as well?
I don't know.
It is.
Whatever.
But man, it involves so many subplots, and it kind of hits a lull after a while.
It does. Well, one thing that I did kind of wonder was they're from Transylvania, right? And when Lasse got here, he was telling me how customs was hounding him a little bit to get into the country. How did customs let these people into the country? How did they let them into America?
Yeah, and like I said, this was... this was pre everybody got really safe with planes and stuff because of terrorism. So yeah. It's reasonable now. And it's, I mean, back then, was there like any kind of control? I'm sure something. But I mean, and did they even come by a plane? Did they mention that? I mean, they could have come like by ship.
Yeah, I guess they could have, but they still would have stopped by customs.
Like Dracula. I mean, they let Dracula through, but I think he was just sleeping in a...
In his coffin?
In his coffin, yeah. And then others did the work.
Definitely.
Maybe we did something similar. Or maybe, since Grandpa Monster seems to be also a wizard, he just teleported them there.
Yeah, but with knowing all of the stuff that Grandpa can't do, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have done it successfully.
Oh man. So much stuff going on. Yeah, and it's also because that's why I like the Addams Family better, because they are more... probable, because the Addams Family, you know, they kind of look weird, but they still look like people. They still,
yeah, and in a way they kind of do. I mean, they're not necessarily monsters, they're like undead things, really. They just can't die.
Yeah, and also like the only one who kind of looks extraordinary is Lurch.
Yeah,
he's the only one. I mean, he kind of looks like...
I mean, look at Cousin It. Cousin It is nothing but a big old set of hair.
Yeah, but he's not like a very, like... Is he like a safe part, a set part of a family? Or does Maybe. He just visit from time to time?
Yeah, well, what about Thing? The Hand?
Yeah, but I mean, those they kind of keep like in secret.
Yeah, maybe. Don't want to get caught.
Yeah, but these ones, you know, they just look like monsters. You know, she I mean, you kind of let the... You kind of let Lily slide because she just looks like a pale woman.
Yeah,
but you have Herman, who looks like Frankenstein's monster. You have Grandpa Monster, who looks like I don't know, looks like if Danny DeVito would play a vampire.
Yeah, he was like a cross between a vampire and a werewolf.
Yeah, and then you have, of course, and then you have Eddie, who has like those pointy ears.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... I don't know, you have to let a lot of the slide.
Yeah, well, they do make fun of it a lot in the show. Like, throughout the movie, there's a bunch of carolers all the time that show up at the Munster's house. And I'm like, look at that house. Why would you even carol at a place like that? But for whatever reason, these people, they're outside, they're caroling. And it's always a big joke that Herman Munster, he opens the door and then they get scared and they run off. And he's like, oh, I want to hear a full song. And he storms inside the house all angry. But they do it, I'd say, probably about five different times. It seemed like that that they had carolers in the front door. He comes out and they run off. Yep. Like it got tiring really fast.
Yeah, they had the nuns. They had some families. It was everything. And also like a cute little detail, the bully who bullies Eddie. I mean, apparently he still believes in Santa too.
Obviously.
So that's nice, at least. And I mean, I don't know. Because I enjoyed the elves quite a bit at first. Because they are, they're kind of raunchy. And I was like, but why are they complaining about wanting vacation? It's not like they have to work during the whole year.
Yeah, I don't know, because it seemed those elves weren't real. They were like the only two elves, apparently, that Santa has, because they didn't need anybody else's help to save Christmas at the very end. So maybe they need a break?
Yep.
Because if they're the only two that are elves.
Sometimes Santa has only two elves. Sometimes he has thousands of elves. Like, Santa lore is weird.
It is. But, I don't know. This whole movie was pretty weird.
It was. But actually, what I really enjoyed, actually, that might have been my favorite scene, is Santa bonding with Eddie. There's this really nice scene where he just comes to him and tells him something about the meaning of Christmas and how you can get over being sad about some stuff. I actually really, really liked that scene because that's someone who, because around Eddie, Santa for the first time actually starts acting like Santa, because of course he's angry. Like, you teleported me here, teleport me back, I have stuff to do. And then Eddie comes and he immediately warms up and, hey, there's a child, it's my job to know every child.
Yeah.
And then they bond over Eddie's pet scorpions. And Santa's like, oh, I know quite a lot. And I was like, did Santa have pet scorpions once?
Yeah, I don't know. They did have a pretty good bond. Santa probably knew that Eddie was down. Mm-hmm. He was homesick, so he wanted to go back home. And Santa really went above and beyond to make sure that Eddie felt like, hey, just because you're not home doesn't mean that, you know, you can't have the Christmas spirit. You can't be with Santa. Here I am. I'm stuck here, so let's make the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like one of the running arcs going through the movie, but there are just so many plots, and they just keep topping themselves with random stuff. I think as soon as, like, at one point, I mean, the elves say, like, okay, let's, like, sabotage this whole thing and make Santa fall asleep so we can go to some sort of weird adult party.
Yeah.
And they try to drug him with some sort of sleeping potion pudding. And then it turns out Santa eats that, and then he turns into a fruitcake. And it was at that point where I just gave up.
No, it was fun. I mean, it wasn't that bad. He turned into a fruitcake. It was, to me, it reminded me of like the Hamburglar, or not the Hamburglar, Mary McCheese, or one of those from like McDonald's, the old advertising characters. How it's basically a huge hamburger. That's what it reminded me of.
You're right, Vic can.
Yeah, but this story had a lot of different subplots to it. We had, because they're all doing their own separate thing to try to make it good for Eddie. Mm-hmm. Lily is going to help Eddie decorate the house. So they're going to do that. They're going to get into the neighborhood decorating contest. We have Marilyn. She's going to invite all of the people from like Transylvania, all the other monsters that they know, all the family members, to invite them to the house to come for Christmas. And we have Grandpa with his bringing Santa there and doing all that. And Herman, the dad, he wants to buy Eddie a very, like, something he would really love to play with for Christmas, but they just don't have the money. So he goes off to find different jobs to try to make extra money. And at one point, at the very beginning, he says that he's going to ask for a raise. And he goes to a place that I think is like a funeral parlor. What do you think he does at the funeral parlor? That's where his job is. What do you think he does?
I don't know. Maybe he decorates corpses. I don't know.
You think that's what it is?
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe he just carries around the coffins.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I know that was another famous actor. Bruce Benz plays his boss.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, Bruce Benz, I recognized him first. Bruce Benz, you know him from stuff like the Mad Max movies. He is in Return of the King. He plays Sauron's mouth. He's only in the extended editions. Mouth of Sauron. He's in Matrix Revolutions as like that time guy. I don't know. Timekeeper, train master.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, he has been in a ton of stuff, and I recognize him right away.
That was fun, but we keep getting all these jumps. We go from, like, character to character, trying to figure out what they're doing. Marilyn, she like at the very beginning, I was looking at Marilyn going, yeah, they probably could have done with somebody who was a lot prettier. And then it wasn't until where she started walking to go take the mail to the mailboxes when all of the they did like this weird thing where she's walking along going to the mailbox and like the mailman stops to look at her. They're running into things, and at one point there's a bike, a guy on a motorcycle who's like looking at her, and he totally crashes, and she runs up to him, and it ends up being that this is like her love interest in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, she is actually very pretty.
Yeah, I think also it was also because of a short skirt she wears.
It might have been that too. I ain't gonna lie.
Because I mean, the light inside of the monster's house is kind of unflattering. So of course, at first you don't really. I mean, she sticks out visually.
Oh, yeah.
Visually, but
definitely does.
It's still, this is one thing I really enjoyed about this. It was the production design. It's very Burton-esque. It has a lot of stuff going on. All the interiors of a house. The exterior stuff, also like the stuff they do to decorate the house. There are a lot of fun gags there, but they overdo it constantly. Uh-huh. Just like, oh, you think this is funny? Like this guillotine decapitating snowman? Well, prepare yourself, because we will show it another 10 times.
All the way up until the very, very end, they still showed that thing.
Yep.
What else did they do? They did like a hanging woman that kind of looked like the neighbor.
Yeah, a hanging woman falling into like a
cauldron or something like that.
Like a witch's cauldron.
Yeah.
They have like this big spider web with bunnies inside of it. We have Rudolph the rabbit reindeer.
One thing that I didn't understand was the whole conflict of this movie is that Santa's not going to be back in time to get the toys ready for Christmas. So he doesn't have time. He needs help. He needs to get sent back to the North Pole. And I kept wondering, doesn't Santa have magic? Can he just magically maneuver himself back to the North Pole? But it gets answered later in the movie. Yeah, it's the elves that have the magic. It's not Santa. So that felt like, you know, it answered the question, but I was still... I thought Santa was the one who had the magic, not the elves.
There was something else you noticed, and that were, like, weird time jumps, which were plot holes.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to get into that yet. We'll get into that when we get closer to the end.
Okay.
But let me do some of the funny moments, because this really made me laugh. I haven't written down. There was one where Grandpa, he's trying to... Oh, that's what the problem was. Grandpa was trying to make snow. Mm-hmm. And he ended up transporting Santa to their house. How that happened, I don't know. So he's trying to make snow, and Marilyn and Grandpa, they're in his basement, I guess, his laboratory. And Grandpa's like whipping something up, and Marilyn says, "Oh, is that for Eddie?" And he's like, "Oh no, this is for Grandpa. It's so I can forget reality." And then he takes a big old swig. That one made me laugh. When at one point when Santa gets turned into a pudding, fruitcake, they go off to find him, and I really laughed when they showed a shot of Grandpa with Eddie on a leash, and Eddie was like on the floor like a hound dog smelling everything. I just busted up laughing.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a very good visual thing, because you have to remember he's a werewolf, he's like a dog, so he uses the doggy door, they put him on a leash. Yeah, I thought it was just funny.
I think one of the unfunniest parts was the montage of Herman trying to find new jobs, because that whole timing was just completely off, and they held on every gag way too long.
Yeah, they did. What was he at first? He was...
At one point in, like, a China shop or something.
And then he goes into a store that has a help wanted sign, and you see him, like, looking at it, and then he kind of buttons himself up a little bit, making himself look more presentable. He walks in, and then there's nothing but screaming going on.
And then a crash, and then he goes outside.
And then he runs away.
He was as a nude model for, like, a drawing class.
He takes off his robe, and everybody screams.
Yeah, I mean, he's made up of different pieces. I don't know.
That was weird.
If there was one other stuff, I think he wanted to donate a blood donator.
Yeah, he wanted to do that. He was a gift raptor at one point. He was trying to wrap gifts, but he kept breaking everything.
That was kind of funny, but still, it took way too long.
It did. Yeah, and then at the very end, he tries to sell blood, but all of the needles keep breaking, though they're bending. Eventually, they bring out this huge needle, and they start sucking at the blood. Everyone's all proud. All the doctors are around him, and the blood's like all green.
And then he faints.
He faints. He passes out. What a wimp.
What else?
What else can we say about this movie? Well, let's go to the end with the time jump. So throughout the movie, they're kind of like counting down the days to Christmas. I think it started with like the 21st. I think it might have started with somewhere around there, and then they just keep counting down the days. Somewhere around the 22nd, the biker guy that turns into Marilyn's love interest, he shows up at the front door. And he's talking to Herman, and he's like, "That guy's your uncle?" She's like, "Yeah, they got all the looks." So he's a musician, and he invites her to go to, I think it was called Hog Heaven. That was the name of the bar that he plays at, and he was supposed to play there that night. Like, he even says it, and she takes it, and she goes, "Well, I'm kind of busy tonight, but if I can make it, I'll go." Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Okay, good." So, you know, he leans in for a kiss, and I'm like, "Whoa, dude, really? You're leaning in for a kiss now? Like, this is your second time, like, seeing this person. You're already going in for a kiss?" But apparently he moves fast.
Maybe he's French.
It's possible. He did kind of look a little French. But he was like some tough... He wasn't a tough biker dude. He was like a tough biker pretty boy.
He was
really
like a mixture between biker and greaser.
Yeah, he was like a greaser, like James Dean in a way.
Yeah.
That kind of who he reminded me
of. Like the wannabe James Dean. I got that vibe a little bit.
Right. And so Marilyn, she takes the poster and she puts it on the fridge. And throughout the day, the elves find it. And then we get... the elves like take it, and they take it down to the basement. They're looking at it, and then that's where they come up with the plan to get rid of Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Santa's gone, he's turned into a fruitcake. They go, "Well, we can go here." So they look at it and then go, "Yeah, let's go there." So they go, and then we get more of those timestamps. It's like day 24 now. Mm-hmm. And then they finally go to the bar. So he was supposed to be playing two nights ago. Why would he be playing that night?
Either it was a non-stop party, or it was like an encore, and like, okay, we will do for like two more nights, or stuff like that. And there was one of those funny bits where when they arrive at the bar, and he realizes that Marilyn's there, and he's up on the stage, like, I think he was either singing or playing the guitar, I'm not sure.
He was playing the guitar, strumming along.
And he's just in the middle of his of a song, and he sees her, and he just leaves the stage.
When I pointed that out to Lassa, he exploded with laughter. I'm like, "Whoa, buddy, where are you going? What about your song?" And Lassa just died. But that was a pretty funny moment. I think it was my line that pretty much hit Lassa right where it hurt.
There was another, at that point, it was just kind of numb to the stupidity.
Yeah.
It was just like, whatever. But there was another plot hole, because the elves, I think they wanted to go to some adult place. And then they're like, "I can't believe you forgot your ID."
Mm-hmm.
And so because they are mistaken for children, I guess. But then they can get into that place, apparently.
They can get into the bar.
Idea.
Yeah, I don't know. The one of them, he looked, the one with the beard, looked very old. So there was no way that they would ever card that guy, especially here in America.
Yeah.
Just because you're short doesn't mean that you're, you know, a kid.
No, of course not. But I mean, in this silly universe, it's...
It worked in this damn universe, really.
I just wanted, you know, if the way the elves behaved, I just wanted to have like Warwick Davis as a leprechaun show up and just help him.
Well, actually, I think one of the elves was in Leprechaun.
Might be. I don't know. Maybe it was a... You know what? You might be right. Could be.
I think so. One of them was played by Arturo Gil.
Mm-hmm.
And was he in Leprechaun? No, I know the other guy. What was the other guy's name? The other guy was... I can't find it. I missed it. He played Larry. He was Ed Gale. Ed Gale was Howard the Duck.
Yep.
Howard the Duck. They both of the elves were in Spaceballs and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. They were both there. What they played, I don't know, but looking at IMDb, they were in there together.
Yeah. I just love Warwick Davis being in stuff. Like, it would have been funny if it was like a crossover where you just like a little cameo.
Yeah.
But I mean, that film is that. Are the Leprechaun movies, are they like R rated? I'm not quite sure.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of blood in the first one.
Wasn't Jennifer Aniston in one of them?
The first one. I think it was like her first like real role.
Oh, he was in Third Rock from the Sun.
Warwick Davis?
No.
Oh, the
one of the elves.
Yeah.
I'm still on the elves, guys. I'm still on the elves. Okay. I'm trying to see if it was in the Leprechaun, but I don't see it. Oh yeah, Leprechaun 2. Aha, I found it. Oh, he only played drunk at the pub. So probably wasn't in the suit, but he sure was.
They'd probably make a short joke in that scene.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. That movie seems like that's what they do. But what else can we say about this movie? Because we're pretty much towards the very end. The very end was extremely cheesy. I'm talking like even I rolled my eyes, and this is my type of stuff. Like I love the cheesy 90s stuff.
You applauded at the end.
Yeah, I when the movie was over, I applauded just to wake up Lasse because he was falling asleep.
But this is because the end is that, okay, Santa can't make it in time. And so they just recruit all of these bikers and they make a machine which hooks up to Herman's brain, and he looks through toy catalogs, and then the machine just prints everything out, and just to print all of the toys come out. Mm-hmm. And they wrap it, and then the biker gang, they are the reindeer.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's kind of weird.
And all the stuff, and they have to steal a sleigh. Where I was like, what happened to the original sleigh and to the original reindeer? Are they just still like going around the earth, or are they dead at this point?
Yeah, why couldn't Santa just call them to come to where he was?
You would assume he had like some kind of device to call
them. Even the elves could adjust.
But right, I mean, at this point, I don't know. But I mean, I was looking at that machine and the way they shot it, the way the music was, I was like, who invented this machine? Vincent Price?
Yeah.
It was just like the cookie machine in Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And then we get the whole thing about Herman wanting to go with Santa. It's his lifelong dream. And then Santa's like, you know what? You have a good idea, Herman Munster. Starting next year, we're going to pick a little boy or girl to come onto the sleigh and be my helper. And then that kind of gave me flashbacks to the Town Center Forgot.
This is where the idea came from, even though this TV movie several years younger.
Yeah. But, yeah. And then that happened. And then Santa gives Herman a early Christmas present, and it's a Santa suit. And Herman says nothing. He, like, screams and yells. And then he's like, oh, thank you, Santa. And he takes off running to go put it on. And then he comes back and he's dressed as Santa, and you know what? That's about the end of the movie. That's it.
Yeah, and then they're like
oh wait, no, we can't.
After that, there are like three fake outs because you think it's about to be over.
Yeah, I thought
it's like, oh, then there's like, okay, and then he wakes up and Santa gave him the gift he wanted to give Eddie, and then he comes in and all the relatives are there, like the mummy, creature from the Black Lagoon. I think I saw Quasimodo there. The Phantom of the Opera, I think, somewhere.
He was there, but you know what? The letter that Marilyn dropped was to the Phantom of the Opera,
right? Oh, right.
So how did he know? Like, because he comes back later.
I mean, it's obvious that her love interest has the letter. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he just, oh, I guess she knows someone in the castle. And then he dropped it in, I mean.
But he had it in his hand when he went to the house. She gave it to him, or he gave it to her.
Okay, maybe she dropped it in later.
But with only 2 days left, it went all the way to France, I think, is where they were mailing it to.
You have all sorts of crazy monsters there. And I'm like, which kind of mailman like goes to a mailbox that's like next to the pyramids and the swamps?
Yeah, that was a little weird. Gilman from the Creature from the Black Lagoon, he was there.
Mm-hmm. also the stuff, and then, you know, they have their party there, then fade out again, and then the judges come back and give him the first prize.
Yeah, they give first prize.
Then they, there's another subplot where she tries to sneak, where a neighbor tries to sneak in, and then another fake out, and then they are still at the party. And it's like, I can't even remember how exactly it ends. Oh yeah, they sing a Christmas song together. Yeah,
they sing the Christmas carol, and then fade to black, and then roll credits.
But yeah, it's like, if this special has more endings than freaking Return of the King.
Yeah, I thought it was going to end right when he left for Santa, because that seemed like a good enough ending. Like, Eddie has the holiday spirit again, or the Christmas spirit. And then it could have just fade right there. And then I was like, cool. I was getting ready to turn it off. And it just continued.
I mean, okay. Dear listeners, let's face it. We probably never won't be as disappointed as we were with the X-Files. Because that was such a soul-crushing and boring experience. This one is not awful. It's fine. It's just drenched into 90s cheese, and I wasn't, and after a while I just wasn't really into it, because really there are just too many stories there. There's just too much zaniness going on. It's not, and it's the kind of uncontrolled zaniness I really don't like. I mean, the actors give it their all. I don't really found any one of them annoying, like none of the characters and none of the actors. I mean, you can see that they are dedicated, like especially Sam McMurray, like he really throws himself into the role with all he has,
right?
But and I found some of the characters actually quite charming and likable. But it's just overall, it's just an onslaught of zaniness going on. And at some point, I kind of like shut part of my brain off. And I was like, I can't take this for much longer.
Right. Well, knowing what the movie was, knowing that it came from a zany sitcom. Especially one like this. I mean, who would have ever thought to put The Munsters as like a weekly sitcom?
I mean, it was kind of like the time back then. This is a weird time where we just tried everything, and there was a certain time frame where people kind of like they connected with this kind of stuff.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Really, we can just end it, because
that's pretty much what I just said. This is my two cents on this on this special. I mean, it's not bad, and if you're a fan of The Munsters, even though both these are clearly different actors, you know, and they throw themselves into it, and they have fun. I mean, I'm glad that they had fun at least. It's just, it needed a better script. It needed more controlled direction, and just a lot of these plots just cut out. I mean, they just wanted to have everybody something to do, and it didn't quite cut it. It's this is what the special was missing, a freaking editor.
Yeah, it could have definitely used some of that, but yeah, I don't know, really. it was an okay movie. If you really want to go check it out, we checked it out because it was a special. It was Halloween themed, sort of. There was a lot of horror elements to it, like we said, there was a lot of universal monsters there. They had a lot of, like, at one point the neighbor says that she got her decorations imported from like France and stuff. She's trying to talk up the judges, and then she goes, yeah, and they got theirs at a Halloween discount store or something like that on clearance.
There's another direct Halloween reference, which was fun, because when they try to get Santa back to normal, they try out different potions.
Oh,
and
he
gets turned into like an egg, into like a Christmas turkey, and a little Christmas tree. And then at one point he's a pumpkin, like a pumpkin with a face. And then she's like,
jack-o'-lantern.
Now I can't even get the holiday right.
And then she takes off. Yeah, but it was a fun movie. I only clapped at the very end to make Lasse go crazy. That was about it.
Because he didn't seem like he was enjoying everything. So I was wondering, like, are you doing this sarcastically, or am I this clueless?
I am stone faced when I could watch these. I could watch these movies without making a twitch.
Because I'm a with the right stuff, I'm a very emotional watcher.
Well, I am not.
You should have been there when I watched Captain Underpants in the theater.
Oh my goodness.
Was completely alone with my little brother. And that was lucky, because after like 10 minutes they would have kicked me out, because I laughed so hard I fell out of my chair at several points.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't laugh much in this, but there were a couple of chuckles I had. Some actually good gags, but they are far few in between.
Right.
And most of it is just zany shtick in a way, and it's too long. It's really too long in my opinion.
It is very too long. They could have shortened this to about an hour, and it would have been better than an hour and a half.
45 minutes.
44 minutes would have been good. That's about an hour long with commercials. 44 minutes would have been good. But looking at some of the trivia, because we can't go without talking about that, the cast from Here Are the Monsters, which came out in 1995, so I'm assuming it was like another TV movie with the monsters, they were going to reprise their roles for this movie, for the Monster Scary Little Christmas, but Edward Herman requested a small raise in his salary. The producers wanted to reduce the other cast members' salaries to pay Herman. So all of them decided not to continue with the sequel, and the new cast was hired, which I think is good. I mean, come on, guys. Why are you going to ask for a small raise? Just do the job.
I mean,
and be done with it.
A lot of makeup stuff. Maybe if you write a script, they were like, okay, we are only doing this nonsense when we get paid properly.
Probably. Well, there's another trivia here on IMDb. It says, the door knocker in this holiday-themed television special is based on Jacob Marley from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Did you kind of get the idea that that's what it was?
I actually didn't make the connection.
I didn't either.
Yeah, the talking doorknob, where do I know this from? I think my first thought was Labyrinth.
Oh,
with
okay.
David Bowie, because you have two talking door knockers there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't make that connection, but it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but it's obvious now that we know. So let's see, what did other people think of this special? We have a couple of reviews, not really too many. We got 6 user reviews
on IMDb.
Somebody gave it a 1.
Oh jeez.
Worse than Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. I got to see that one. I definitely got to see that one now.
I mean, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, I mean, it's certainly more campy and even less boring than this.
Yeah, well, it seems like the consistency here is that it's halfway. A couple of sixes, 1.8. That's probably the best rated one there. 1.5. So it's in the middle. It's in the middle.
Kind of like we are, I guess.
I'd give it about a 6. A 6 is, it wasn't terrible. It did have some funny moments. I wish there was more of those funny moments. The writing was okay at times, because they did have some of that witty comedy that I like. But that's it.
Okay. You know what? I would give it 8 stars.
You would give it 8?
Out of 50.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. But yeah. Okay, let's close this one off, because, man, we just had 2 weeks of... I don't know. We better come up with something really good for next week, because people are going to start jumping ship.
I don't know, because negativity, sometimes negativity is needed.
Okay.
And people like it when people get kind of like mad about stuff. Those things sell the most, because I mean, it's great that we have like this holly jolly Christmas podcast, and we just talk endlessly about how much we love this and how much we love that. You have to change it up every now and then, and we don't do this on purpose, people. We didn't know how these episodes would turn out. You know, chance. That's just the chance. Sometimes you have to stumble across something you don't like all that much. And I mean, this wasn't awful or anything. It was just like a little underwhelming, I guess.
Right. Yeah. It was. I didn't have that much high hopes for it, because I did kind of see some of the reviews on Amazon before I rented it. There was more 5-star reviews than there was 1-star reviews, so that was like, I was kind of being hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was about a middle. So if you want to check it out, it's called The Monsters Scary Little Christmas, 1996 TV movie. You should be able to find it on Amazon. We did. It cost me $3. I'm gonna go see if I can get my money back. And
maybe is it on YouTube or not?
No, if it was on YouTube, I definitely would have gone to YouTube. So yeah, let's close this off. If you have any questions, comments, or anything you want to suggest something to us for a future show, go ahead and send those to 90s Christmas Podcast at gmail.com. That's 90s christmaspodcast@gmail.com. You could also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/90sChristmasPod. We're on Twitter, 90sChristmasPod. And if you want to support the show, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That's what it's called now. Leave us a review there, because those really do help us, I guess, kind of be found in the ranks of the millions and millions of podcasts out there. So yep. Help us out.
Yeah, please do. Please do. You can find all of my stuff on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter at Lasse Vogt. I do the Fans About Films podcast, also available on SoundCloud and iTunes. I write German soundtrack reviews for scoregeek.wordpress.com, and I have a YouTube channel, The Deppert. So please check it out. Please check this podcast out. Recommend us to your friends. Every comment, every like, every just download is welcomed. We are really looking forward to your feedback, of course. Please send us more feedback, dear people. And thanks for having us again in your ear.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And for me and Teddy over here, we would like to say have a good night.
Have a good night. I'm gonna beat you up.